Good morning, everybody. How you doing this morning? Today, evidently, is another special day. It seems we've got three families with four generations here of family members, the Cox, Nolan, and Sweeney family. Let's give them a hand this morning. Isn't that great? You know, as I got ready to think about what the Lord wanted me to bring for a message this week, I started preparing the message, and I had a title, and I thought this is exactly what God wanted me to speak about this morning. And I came in the office, and I had my title written down, and I prayed, and I said, "Okay, Lord, here we go." Well, 30 minutes later, all I had was just a title. I said, "Okay, Lord, here we go. I'm ready. Let me have it." 30 minutes later went by, all I had was a title. I figured it out real quick. I said, "You know, evidently, Lord, this is not what you want me to preach about this morning. You know, I'm slow, but, you know, I kind of got the message." I talked to Claudia, and I was telling her what was happening. So I said, "Well, I tell you what." I just laid my head down on a Bible, and I prayed, and I said, "Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. If this was the last..." This is what came to me as I was praying. "If this was the last message that I got to preach at this church, if it was, what would you have me bring? What message would you want me to present this morning?" And it was just like a river flowing. I mean, it just... I didn't have to hardly do anything except just hurry up and write it down as it was coming. So this is what the Lord gave for me this morning. What is it about a church that draws people to it? That was something that the Lord gave me, the question. What is it about a church that makes people want to come to it? Is it the building itself? Is it the air conditioning? You know, there's a lot to be said about air conditioning, you know. I've preached in a tent where it was hot, y'all, and I mean, you're preaching and sweating, and everybody out there sweating, but I knew right then, I said, "No, it's not about air conditioning." You know, is it the people that's inside that makes the difference, that makes you want to come and be a part of a church? You know, the scriptures say over and over, you must have love and you must love one another. You know, having a sense that people love them is what draws folks to a church. Knowing that they are accepted and that they are loved. You've heard the phrase, you know, when people go and visit a church that they really like, "Boy, I really felt the Holy Spirit there." And, you know, they were just really friendly folks, you know. So if everyone in this building right now loved each other and loved the folks that come and visit this church and want to join, if we loved each other like Christ loves us, what would this church be like? I can tell you this much. You couldn't hold all the people that God would send to this church. You couldn't hold them. There's not enough chairs. It'd be standing room only here if we loved people and looked at people through Jesus' eyes. Let's look at 1 John 4:7. We're going to go 7 to 12, and then we're going to jump down and do 20 and 21. And this is talking about really how we should be looking at ourselves if we say we're Christians. 1 John 4:7. "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and His love is brought to full expression in us. Let's drop down to 20 and 21. If anyone says, now this is God speaking, not me. If anyone says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people that we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And He has given us this command, those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. It boils down to just one thing, folks. People just want to be loved. You know, you can be a multi-millionaire and have all the money that there is in this world that there is to have. All the treasures, every kind of truck, every kind of trailer. You can have 1,000 horses in your stables. But without love, that guy is like a pauper. You cannot buy love. You can only receive it and give it. There's a lot of rich people in this world that commit suicide because of that one thing that they can't have or they can't find, and that's love. That's how important love is. Even in this world that we live in, love is something that you've just got to have. Giving and showing love to someone cost you something because you're giving a part of yourself to them. In this world we live in, people want to be loved, and that's it, period. When I first came here, I gave an analogy about a wagon train. How that they would put themselves in a circle. That way they could see everything that's going on outside of that circle. They did it to not just to look good at night, but they did it for protection. They did it so that they could see anything coming. Most churches today, right now, instead of looking out, they're looking inward. They're holding hands and they're in a circle, but they're all facing each other, not being able to see what's going on outside the church. They're really, really, really comfortable with themselves. They love being at church and they love being with each other. And they say, oh, we love God, but you see, they are comfortable with just themselves, and they really don't want anybody else in the circle. Really don't want anybody else, because they'd have to let go of the person that they're holding hands with. I believe that is a good analogy for churches today. I feel like a cowboy church. I feel like everybody should be holding hands and loving each other, but we should be turned out, facing out, so, and holding hands. That way, when someone comes up, you can say, oh, hey, come here. You need to get into this group. Hey, you know, let's come to common ground. Hey, come over here where we love each other. But we have love enough to share for you, too. We want you to be a part of this. They can see people coming. They're constantly looking out into the community saying, who can I tell? Who can I talk to? Who can I share with? That, to me, is a church. Giving and showing love to someone, like I said, costs you something. So my question is, for Common Ground, what is our mission here at Common Ground? Is it to get more members? Is it to be a super cowboy church like some, like in Tyler, where they've got thousands and thousands of people? Or do you just like it the way it is right now with the folks that are here, and you're satisfied where you are and what you're doing and the people that are here? Or do we want to love another with a love that is a sacrificial love? A love that we can't manufacture ourselves. A love that only comes from the Holy Spirit of God Himself. That's the kind of love I'm talking about this morning. When we experience this agape type love, this sacrificial love, you can't keep it to yourself. It's something that you just have to share with other people. I want to tell you a story about a farmer that Jesus told this story. As a farmer, he had a handful of seeds and he just sprayed them out into the pasture. And it's Jesus said that some of them landed on the footpaths where you walk, hard ground. Some of them fell on the rocks. Some of them fell in the thorns and the thistles. And some of the seeds fell into fertile ground. The birds ate a lot of it. There's a big analogy of what all it means. Jesus told this to his disciples and to the people, and the disciples are sitting there scratching their head going, you know what he's talking about? I don't know what he's talking about. Can you figure out what he's trying to say? Nobody knew. So they asked Jesus, they said, Jesus, what are you trying to tell us? What does this parable mean? Jesus told them real quick. Let's look in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 13. Mark 4:13. This is Jesus speaking. And he's talking to his disciples. Then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? So he starts the explanation here. The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. Lastly, and the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. So, you know, I'm not a mathematician or anything. I can add, but not any great numbers. But look at it like this. Say there's 100 people here. I don't know if there is, but just say if there's 100 people here. If every person that was here went and told 10 people, just 10, about the Lord and about their experiences, about Common Ground, just whatever you wanted to tell them about, whatever God led you to, say that just one person out of 10 received it. and was that person that he's talking about in fertile ground. That means, and you invited them to church, and you probably invited all 10. If just one person came, that would mean that 100 people would be at the church the very next Sunday that you invited. Think about it. That's what the scripture is talking about. The more you seeds you throw out, the more bucket loads of them, the more people you invite, the more people you tell about Jesus, the higher percentage it is of one person not just coming to know about common ground, but coming to know Jesus himself and the salvation that he offers each and every one of us. They get to feel the love of Christ. The field in this area here in Cossey and Bremont and this whole area is white. It's ready. The harvest is ready. Folks really want to hear about, not only want to hear about Jesus, but they want to have a place where they can come and feel love and be accepted like who they, where they are right now, and love for the way they are. You know, you could tell them, say, you know, I invite them to church and say, you know, I'll come pick you up. You can come sit with me. And after church, we'll go get something to eat. You know, everybody likes to eat. At least I do. But you see, when you ask someone like that, it does cost you something. Not only does it cost you some time, but it also may cost you some money. And it might even make you uncomfortable. Think about it. It might even make you feel uncomfortable because you have to give a part of yourself when you do this. You're actually giving a part of yourself. You're giving part of your time, part of your talent, and you're sharing your love with them. It costs something. But you know, even if you didn't tell 10 people, what if you just made a commitment just to tell one person, one buddy that you know, one girlfriend that you know, one anything, an associate, it doesn't matter who it is. If you just told one person, if you started somewhere and made a commitment to do one, if everybody did just one, the chances of someone coming to know the Lord is even greater. That's what I'm talking about. When we say that we love someone or we love God, do we really mean it? Jesus even talked to Peter. He said, Simon Peter, do you love me? Peter goes, Lord, yes, I love you, Lord. There was a different question that Jesus was asking. Jesus asked him, do you sacrificially love me? Do you agape love me? Peter answered back in a phileo. He said, oh, yeah, Lord, I love you. Basically, I like you. We're buddies. Didn't answer exactly what Jesus asked. So Jesus asked him again. He says, Peter, son of John, do you love me? Peter goes, Lord, you know I love you. And he said, feed my sheep. A third time Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? This is getting Peter upset now because he is really starting to feel hurt. He goes, Lord, you know my heart. You know that I love you. Phileo, I love you in a brotherly way. Jesus said, watch over my flock. When we say that we love each other and we love the people in Cossey and Bremont, what are we saying? Are we saying, I love you with the love of Christ, with a sacrificial love, a love that is unconditional, that does not judge? Is that what we're saying? Are we saying, well, we're just buddies, and I like to see you every once in a while? If I had a wish, if I had a wish that could come true for common ground, it would be this. that anyone who come through that door would know that they were loved before that they left. That this whole community would know of common, when someone said, "Hey, have you ever heard of Common Ground?" They would say, "Man, that is the lovingest church. Those people are so loving. They are so dang friendly. You can't hardly get out the door without somebody wanting to shake your hand or hug you. You know, it's almost embarrassing. You know, it makes me kind of uncomfortable to go there." What do you think Jesus would do when people came in? How do you treat your own family? When you haven't seen some of your family members and they come to your house, do you ignore them when they come to visit? Do you just kind of like go back to watching TV and just let them fend for themselves? You hadn't seen them in a long time, or you just don't pay them any attention at all. You don't ask them any questions, what they've been doing. You don't do anything. You just ignore them. Well, just think about it. Now you get up and you hug them, and everybody is up because they just got there. Everybody's on their feet. Everybody wants to hug their neck. Everybody wants to kiss them. Everyone wants to tell them how much they love them and how much they missed them. Well, guess what, folks? That's the kind of love that Jesus is talking about. The kind of brotherly and sisterly love that I would like to see here at Common Ground. And I know that's what God wants. The kind when a visitor comes in, you don't ignore them. You give them the best seat in the house. You tell them to come. "Hey, come sit with me." Everybody says, "Well, what, you want to sit with me?" "No, well, I already told this person." I said, "You want?" And then someone else comes and said, "Have you got a place to sit? Come sit by me." You see my point? We have to start looking at people the way that Jesus sees them and make them feel at home, and that they're with their family, the family of God. You know, that is the kind of church that I'd like to be a part of. How about you? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the folks here at Common Ground, Lord. We just thank you for the blessings that you have showered onto this church. And they have been many, Father. That they are still here. They're still standing. Father, they're still reaching out to this community. But Father, I ask for so, so much more. Father, I just ask for an explosion of blessings upon this church that can't be denied by anyone. That this church would be the most loving church in the world. That they would receive people just exactly the way they are, without judging them. Father, just loving them the way that you see them and the way you would treat them. I pray, Father, that I know that you've been here this morning. I pray that our hearts have been open to hear your message. And Father, that we would reach out into the community and bring them in to your family. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen. If you're here this morning and you're visiting, we want to welcome you here to Common Ground. We want to thank you for being here. I tell you, it's a great church. It's a good, loving church. It's a church where I guarantee you that everyone should have a church like Common Ground in their area where they can come to and they can love each other and feel like that they're at home. If you would like to join Common Ground, we've got a green sheet in the back where you can fill it out and drop it in the milk can back there. And that's also where we put our tithes and offerings to the Lord. We don't pass a hat around here. We don't believe in that. But we do ask that you have a place where you can serve God in a financial way. And that's where we put our money for the Lord. And if you are needing a prayer request, if you have a problem in your life that you don't want to for everyone to know, but you want someone to pray for you, you can write that down, and I promise you it will be prayed over by not only the elders, but the lay pastors. And if you want the whole church to pray for you, we'll all pray for you and wherever you're at in your life and whatever's going on. But we thank you for being here. Are the kids ready to come down? Okay, the kids are coming. Okay.